Captain Underpants, yes. We're going to be exploring that today. Well, again, welcome. We're continuing this series this morning called The Making of a Superhero. Throughout this series, we've been looking at different characteristics from superhero movies that have been out in the theaters this summer, and then looking at how each one of us is an everyday superhero. And we actually have a special guest this morning, our very own superhero here in Sycamore Creek. Is our superhero coming? Do we have a superhero here this morning? We'll see if oh my goodness, yes! Our very own Sycamore Creek superhero, The Creek. Welcome, The Creek. Yes. Creek, what is your superpower today?
Maintaining the buildings.
Maintaining the buildings. He's mirroring our facilities team and the superheroes who are there. Thank you, The Creek, for joining us this morning and the reminder of the superheroes that we have among us. So we're continuing this series today on the making of a superhero. And for those of you who don't know my story, back in September I became a pastor here at Sycamore Creek, and I left behind a 15-year career as a breast cancer researcher. And I started as a pastor, and this past week the United Methodist Church thought, well, maybe we should train Mark as a pastor. And so I started licensing school this past week. And one of the classes I took at licensing school was preaching and worship. And when I showed up for that class this week, you know, people were talking about, oh, what are you preaching on? What have you been preaching on? What are you doing at your church? And I was like, yeah, I'm preaching on Captain Underpants. And surprisingly, I was the only one. No one else is preaching on that. Go figure. So today we're going to explore Captain Underpants. And the challenge before me is, how do we get from Captain Underpants to the Bible and what God has to say to us this morning? Now, I'll be talking about Captain Underpants. I promise I will try to keep it brief. And we will try to keep this sermon from going down the toilet. And I'll stop there before the bathroom humor starts coming too much. So it's like one of the questions I got, you know, people are like, you're doing Captain Underpants? Really? Like, why on earth are you doing Captain Underpants? And it brings up, why are we using these summer movies? We use the summer movies because they're a part of our broader culture. And what we do at Sycamore Creek as a part of our teaching team is each week we hope to build a bridge from our culture, from the things that people are wrestling with, the questions people have, the things we're exposed to, and we build that bridge to the Bible. And it's difficult work, and it's work that our teaching team tries to do every single week, where we take cultural themes, where we take movies, where we take songs, where we take things that we all wrestle with, and we lead to God's truth. And so that's the task before us this morning. Hopefully I'm up for it. Captain Underpants, as you saw in the trailer, and I just a disclaimer, I'm not recommending the movie in any way. Like, you know, it looks like a cinematic masterpiece, and I'm sure it'll get some Academy Awards, probably not really. But as you can see, it's kind of a fun tongue-in-cheek movie, and it's got two main characters, and they have a very poor relationship with their principal. And so they go to the principal and they pull out this ring and they hypnotize the principal into believing that he's Captain Underpants. And the movie takes off from there, and this principal is transformed into this underpant wearing cape made out of curtains superhero, Captain Underpants. And I think in this movie what we see is the incredible superpower of belief. You see, that principal believes he's Captain Underpants, and he's transformed. His life completely changes through the power of belief, and there is a power of belief that each one of us can access. There's a superpower that each one of us has, and it is the superpower of belief. What is belief? I looked it up in the dictionary so we could start with a definition here of what belief exactly is. And it's a state or habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in some person or thing. So the things that you believe in, you put trust or confidence in those things. Now, a second aspect of the definition is that it's a conviction of the truth of some statement or some reality or some being or phenomenon, especially when it's based on examination of evidence. Now, as a former scientist, I had to throw in that examination of evidence because there's a sifting that goes through of our experiences. There's a sifting that goes through of the experiences of others that helps to form what we believe. These aren't just pulled from a vacuum. We don't have someone with a decoder ring telling us what to believe. We sift through the world around us. We look at the examination of the evidence. And here's the thing about belief. We get to choose what we believe. We choose what we believe. Now, for each one of us, there's the reality that we live in, the reality of our situation, the vocation that we have or don't have, the family that we have or don't have, the neighbors that we have or don't have. All of these things are our reality, and yet in the midst of reality, there's also our perception of our reality, the way that we perceive everything around us. And there's a lot of ways where you can't change your reality. If I wanted to, I can't become an NBA basketball player. I can't just snap my fingers and have that happen. But there are a lot of ways where our perception of our reality can begin to change our reality, because our perception of our reality, the things that we believe to be true, they change us. And they change our behaviors. They change the way that we interact with the world. Let me give you an example of that. And it starts with a confession. Don't tell my dentist, but I absolutely hate flossing. I hate flossing. I just cannot stand it. And yet, every single night, I floss my teeth. Why on earth would I do something every night that I hate? It's because I finally believe that flossing is good for the health of my teeth. I believe it's good for the health of my mouth. Now, it took years of my dentist telling me this, my hygienist telling me this, my wife telling me this, but I finally believe. And as a result of that belief, I believe it so firmly that every single night I do something that I don't enjoy doing, that I actually hate doing. Such is the power of belief. Now, in the movie, it's kind of unbelievable, right? That the kids come with their decoder ring and hypnotize the principal, and all of a sudden he believes that he's Captain Underpants. In my opinion, like a totally unbelievable plot, right? But I think a lot of us live our lives secretly wishing that someone would do that. That they would just come to us and make it simple for us. Just point a decoder ring at us and just say, this is what you should believe. Because there's so many things that we can believe in. The options are almost overwhelming in the midst of this having to choose. We're like, well, what do I choose? How do I sift through all of this? Someone just tell me what to believe. This is even true within Christianity. You ask like five different Christians what they believe about something, and you're often going to get five different answers. And we're left with this wrestling of what do we believe in? And in the midst of that wrestling, what happens is that we limit the power of belief. Because we don't really put our belief in anything, we kind of hedge our bets and spread out our belief, we don't really get to access the full power of belief, this full superpower of belief, because we don't really believe deeply in things. We believe shallowly. We look at our reality, we look at the situation that we're in, and all too often we think, no, this is just it. There's really no hope, there's really nothing that can be done to change this, it just is what it is. And we limit the power that belief has in our lives. And I think underlying this is another problem with our belief. And that's all too often we put our belief in the wrong things. There are so many things that we could put our belief in. And in putting them in the wrong things, we limit the power that belief can have in our lives. The main thing I think that we often misplace our belief is by putting it in ourselves. Now let me clarify that. I hope that you believe that your life matters. I hope you believe that you were made for a purpose and that your life is here for a purpose. And I hope you believe that with your life you can make a difference in this world. I hope you believe all of those things. But I hope you also realize that you are not enough. You're going to get to some point in your life where things are happening, life is coming at you, suffering is happening, reality is there right in your face, and you will not be enough. You'll not be enough in that moment. You need something bigger than yourself to believe in. You need something that is steadfast, something that is true, something that is powerful, that you can put your trust and your confidence in the midst of life and reality coming at you. And this is where we finally made it to the Bible. We've started with Captain Underpants, and now we are at God's truth. And today, there are three things that I want to tell you about God's truth, about the power of belief, and how we can access this superpower through God, through belief in God. So three aspects of belief. The first aspect is this, is that God is our source of power. God is our source of power. Not me, not you. God is the source of power. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Job, and Job was called a righteous man. He followed God closely, and God blessed him. Job had a tremendous family. Job had tremendous wealth. He had all sorts of herds and flocks and land. He had great friends. And he looked at this, and he was just faithful to God. He loved God. He believed in God strongly. So much so that Satan comes to God, and Satan says, you know that guy Job? He's a pretty good guy. He loves you, God. He believes in you really passionately, but I think it's because of all the blessing that you've given him. If you took away that blessing, you would take away Job's belief in you, Job's trust in you, Job's confidence in you. And God says, I'll allow you to take that stuff away. I'll allow you to do that because I think Job loves me for who I am, not for the blessings that I've given him. And so Satan takes away Job's health. He's suffering. He takes away Job's family, and he loses his family. He takes away his wealth, and all of a sudden Job does not have all the riches that he had. And in the midst of this, Job is suffering, he is questioning, he is hurting, why is this happening to me? And yet his faith in God, his trust in God, his belief in God does not waver. To the point where we're in the midst of this, Job says to his friends, if it's a question of strength, he's the strong one. In the midst of enduring all of this suffering and turmoil, Job knows it's not through his own strength that he gets through it. Job knows he can't do it on his own. He says, if it's a question of strength, God is the strong one. God is the one who has the superpower, not me. Where are you in your life this morning? Do you trust in the strength of God? Is God your source of power? Are you trying to do things on your own? This is incredibly tempting. I have to tell you, since becoming a pastor in September, I constantly find that I'm in over my head on things. I don't know how to do this. They didn't teach us this in my science education classes. And in those moments, it's really easy for me to try to rely on my own strength, to try to get through it with what resources I have. And it'll never be enough. If it's a question of strength, God is the strong one, and I need to rely on God, and so do you. Paul, one of the first missionaries to the church, he went all over Asia Minor and he started churches. He discipled people. He taught them about what it meant to follow Jesus. He opened the scriptures with them and he explained Jesus' life to them. And Paul, in one of his letters to the church in Corinthians, he writes this. He says, I did this. I did all of these things I did so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So you trust not in yourself and what you are capable of, but in the power of God at work in your life. The first aspect of belief is that God is the source of our power. The second aspect of belief is that belief accesses God's power. Belief accesses God's power. Now this should blow your hair back a little bit, if you have any. God, the God who created mountains, the God who created the oceans and the depths of the ocean, the God who created the universe and the stars that are go as far as we can possibly see, that same God wants to share his power with you. With you. Do you believe that? You see, when you believe, you access God's power. It's implied in that first statement where I said God is the source of power. A source implies that it's meant to be shared. It's not just for God. God wants to share his power with you, and we access it through belief. In another one of his writings, Paul, the early missionary to the church, he said this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. I hope that gives you goosebumps. God's power for us who believe him. This is incredible. God wants to share his power with you. We just need to believe. Easier said than done, right? Now, Jesus was God's son, and Jesus came and was here on earth and had just an amazing ministry where he taught people and he healed people. And again and again and again, what Jesus really recognized was most important in people was their belief. And Jesus looked at them and he said, "This has happened because you believed that it would happen." Now, another word in the Bible for belief is faith. The things that we believe in, we put our faith in, we put our trust in, we put our confidence in. And I want to tell you two stories from Jesus' ministry about the power of faith. The first story is found in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's the story of the Roman centurion. There's a Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army, and he comes to Jesus, and this is the story from Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." Here's a picture of the centurion approaching. Oh, I think we went too far there. There we go. There it is. The centurion approaching Jesus. The centurion replied to Jesus, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And here's the key verse here. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And at that moment, his servant was healed. Such is the power of belief. The Roman centurion believes that it will happen, and God shares his power through Jesus Christ, and reality is changed. The power of faith, the power of belief. There's a second story in Mark chapter 5. And in this story, Jesus is at a seaside. He often preached by the lake, in natural amphitheater. In this story in Mark, it says that when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him by the lake. And then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And the story continues here, and as Jesus is on his way to help her, he's passing through that crowd that's gathered around him, and a woman touches his cloak, and Jesus realizes that he's healed someone else, and he stops and he pauses. He has a conversation. And then the story continues of Jesus on his way to Jairus' house in verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the home of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, I have a picture of this, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around, She was 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. This is the power of belief shown through Jesus Christ. What God wants of you today is to not be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. So the second aspect of belief is that when we put our faith in God, we access God's power. The third aspect of belief is that when we increase our belief, we increase God's power in our lives. An increase in our belief in God leads to an increase in God's power in our lives. Now, before I explain this, I need to give a clarification here. When I say that God's power will increase in your life, I don't mean that all of a sudden, because you have an increasing belief, everything will go your way. I don't mean that all of a sudden you'll make every right choice and you'll just sail through life. That is not at all what the power of God means. Even with the power of God, you're still going to make bad choices, and there's going to be consequences for those bad choices. Even with the power of God, other people around you are going to make bad choices, and those are going to have consequences on you. And sometimes there's going to be things in life that are a consequence of nothing. They just happen, and they suck. And those things are still going to happen too. What the power of God means is when you have the power of God, you can get through anything. There is nothing that life can throw at you that you cannot get through when you have the power of God at work in your life. And so it leads to the question, how do we increase our belief? How do we get this increase in belief that leads to an increase in God's power in our lives? And it's such a good question that Jesus' disciples asked this of Jesus. They said to Jesus, show us how to increase our faith. It's a very good question. I don't know how they came up with that. And Jesus answered, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And then Jesus moves on and talks about other stuff. And if you're anything like me, you're like, huh? What do you mean, Jesus? Like, that doesn't give me much to work with. A mustard seed? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, you may have heard this scripture before. You may have heard people preach on it before. And the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that's out there. It's just an incredibly tiny seed. And what you often hear is, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the faith you have. It's really small, and that's okay. You know, like faith, even that small. And you'll hear a lot about that. I'm not going that direction this morning. Is it? Jesus talks about the mustard seed, and what I want to emphasize is that it is a seed. See, there's all sorts of small things that Jesus could have talked about. He could have said your faith is like a tiny pebble that gets stuck under your foot in your sandal, and it drives you crazy. And such is the power of faith that even a small amount of faith can cause incredible irritation in those around you. But that's not what Jesus says. He doesn't say it's a small stone. He doesn't say it's a little pebble. He says it's a seed. And the thing about a seed is potential. You see, you take a seed and you plant it in fertile soil and you give it some water and some sunlight and growth happens. And I think what Jesus is talking about here is that your faith is like a seed and it is not meant to stay small. It is meant to grow and to flourish. So the question I have for you this morning in terms of your belief, in terms of your faith, are you allowing it to grow? Are you getting nourishment for the seed of your faith? How do we get that nourishment? We get that nourishment by putting ourselves in God's presence. The more time we spend with God, the more nourishment, the more water, the more sunlight, the better soil we have for our seed of faith to grow. Here at Sycamore Creek, we talk about habits a lot, these spiritual practices, these things that we do, not because they themselves are important, but because they put us in God's presence, and God grows that seed of our faith. There are things like opening God's scriptures and reading His Word. When we do that, we get water, we get good soil, we get nutrients for our faith. When we pray, when we ask God for things, when we listen to what God might say to us, we put ourselves in God's presence and we nourish the seed of faith. When we gather as a community to worship and we encounter God together, God grows the seed of our faith. When we serve our church, when we serve someone who needs help, we are growing the seed of our faith. When we give out of what God has given us, we're growing the seed of our faith. All of these things that we do them not just because they're good things, but because they grow the seed of our faith. Your faith is like a mustard seed. Your faith is also like a muscle. I wish that was my arm. That's not my arm. That guy's got some guns. And a muscle is made to be used. If you do not use your muscles, it's use it or lose it. Like, you will lose your muscle if you don't use it. I found this out the hard way. I about a month and a half ago, I had surgery. And after surgery, I had to take it easy for a couple weeks. Well, taking it easy means you're not using your muscles. And when I started to resume normal activity, man, I was tired. And I was not nearly as strong as I had been. I loved to work out, and I went back and tried to do one of my workouts, and I had to completely adjust my expectations because there was no way I could do what I was used to doing because I had rested so much. Muscles were made to be used, and your faith is like a muscle that is meant to be used. How do we use the faith muscle that we have? Well, I love this quote from John Wimber. It says, "Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Risk. You exercise the muscle of your faith when you risk. It doesn't show any belief at all if you just take it easy, if you just do what's comfortable, if you do what's safe. That's not living through belief in something. That's just trusting in yourself and what you're capable of handling. You really want to live out what you believe in. You really want to live out your faith. Risk something. Do something that's difficult. I want to close today with a list of risks that maybe God is calling you to take one of these risks. And risks are never easy. They're never comfortable. So I'm not saying, well, just do what's comfortable. Do what you've always been doing. Risks are going to be difficult. And so you see, in each one of these risks, there's something difficult that God might be calling you to do today. Maybe God is asking you to forgive someone who's difficult to forgive. That person where you're like, there's no way I could ever forgive that person for that. Do you really believe in the grace and forgiveness of Jesus? Then live it out and forgive the person. And maybe today God is saying to you, give when it's difficult to give. Give of your time. Give of your treasure. Not when it's easy, not when it's convenient, but take a risk and do it even when it's difficult. Maybe God is asking you to help or to serve someone who's difficult to help or serve. You see that situation, you see that person, and you want to just run the other way. That's what's comfortable, that's what's safe. But God is calling you to risk, to use that muscle of your faith, and you're going to lean into that situation and help that person. Or maybe there's someone who, man, they just have so much reality going on in their life, and you're like, I don't even want to hear about this, but God is calling you to listen. To walk alongside someone, maybe there's nothing you can do other than just being there and listening to them and what they're going through. And maybe that's a risk that you need to take today. And finally, maybe this is one of the most difficult risks for each one of us, is to change when it's difficult to change. To change our circumstances, to change who we are, to allow God to change us. It's easy, it's comfortable to do what we've always done. This is just the way I am. But maybe what God is calling you today is to take a risk, to use that muscle of faith and to allow God to change you into something new, something better than what you were. See, we've talked about belief. We've talked about these three different things. God is the source of all power. And when we believe in God, we access that power. And when we increase our faith in God, our belief in God, we increase God's power at work in our lives. I hope that as you leave here today, that you will recognize that God is the source of power, and that if you want to be a superhero, if you want to have a superpower that each one of us can have, it starts with belief. We need to nourish that seed of belief that we each have. We need to exercise the muscle of faith that we each have. Now, I'll tell you, when we do that together as a community, it's going to be an incredible place. An incredible place. I think it already is, but I just imagine, I almost wish I could today to like take the decoder ring and hypnotize you all and you believe in the power of belief in God and God's power to transform you. I can't do that, but I can encourage you to choose to do that. I can encourage each one of you that you would choose to risk, that you would choose to nourish your faith. And when we do that together as a community, we're going to be very different than anything else in our world. The rest of our world is going to say, believe in yourself. The rest of our world is going to be, do what feels good, do what's safe for you, do what's best for you. Not here, not at Sycamore Creek. At Sycamore Creek, we commit to the power of God and the power of believing in God. That is a power that's amazing. That is a power that is God at work through us. And that is a power that when we believe in God, we will have as a church. I think we can transform the world. We can change lives one by one by one as a church through the power of belief in God. And it starts with each one of us. It starts with each one of us in that choosing to believe ourselves. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for the reminder this morning of the power of belief. There are all sorts of areas, God, where we wrestle with doubts and uncertainties and disbelief. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen us, and that in those areas where we need help in our belief, that you would come alongside us with your power, and you would increase and grow our belief. God, we seek you together as a community, knowing that when we put our trust and our confidence in you, we will be powerful. We will have a superpower that each one of us can access, a power that comes not from ourselves, but from you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.